You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get up. Beware,
Tiger. IGN GameScoop. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. With me this week is Greg Miller.
Yo, dudes!
Andrew Goldfarb is here.
Ultimate Rapture Edition.
I hope you... Greg, my dream was fulfilled earlier this week when I was on Podcast Unlocked, and Andrew Goldfarb brought me coffee mid-podcast.
Oh, yep. Wow. Did you wonderful. Text him, or did he just... Was he listening to the live stream?
We planned it ahead of time.
Yeah, it was good.
But it was very nice.
Nice.
It was really great. Also, Justin Davis is here.
Hey, guys.
How's it going?
Good.
Okay, let's talk about games. Come on, let's get ready.
Let's talk about games, baby.
Let's talk about you X and B. X and B.
The cross-media bar.
No, not X and B. X and B, like on the controller. It can be whatever you want.
Okay. It should probably be X and B. I think it's more clever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really? I thought X and B, because they're on... Whatever.
They're on different...
Let's talk about square and B. Let's talk about shaking Wiimotes.
No, let's not talk about that.
Never.
Last week was E3.
I knew I missed something.
Yeah, that's a big game show. So that's over with and done. And the next one is Comic-Con.
Yep, we're going, Damon.
Yeah, we'll be there. And then I think the one...
Andrew and I shared a look just now. Like a very sad
You'll be
face.
Here holding on the fort. You guys can take care of Portillo.
Yeah.
True.
Right, writing about the iPhones, taking care of wiener dogs.
Living the dream.
And then I think the show after that is Gamescom.
Yes,
that's before PAX Prime, right?
Yes.
It is. So Gamescom is a huge show, much bigger than E3.
My favorite part is how Microsoft is there every year, the most reliable presence for sure.
Mm-hmm. Wait a second.
Womp.
Microsoft, they announced this week they're not going to Gamescom.
What?
Or TGS.
No!
Now, TGS, we understand.
Yeah.
It makes sense. The,
sure.
The Xbox is all but dead in Japan. But Gamescom, more surprising.
Uh-huh.
It's really surprising to me how a lot of people seem to be bundling those shows together. Like when Bioshock got delayed till 2013, they were like, we won't be at Gamescom or TGS. Like they all separate those two.
International, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are both shows that are also open to the public.
That's the thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. So Gamescom is 275,000 people, I think, go to that show. Open to the public. It's huge. Bigger than TGS. TGS is like over 200,000 still. But compare that to E3, an industry only show, there's like what, 45 came this year.
Yeah.
So these are much, much bigger shows.
Yeah. And even E3's biggest year ever had, I think, like 70,000 people.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. PAX is, that's like PAX now. PAX is like 60,000, 70,000.
What do they get by going? If they would have gone, what would they have gotten?
publicity on their game. On
not
their
needed. Don't worry about
it. So that's why.
Look at E3, right? They came and they had Halo 4 and they had a new Gears game and everybody said, oh my God, have you seen Watch Dogs? You hack traffic lights, bro! Like, everybody, there were so many great sequels and iterations on franchises, God of War, Halo, Last of Us to an extent, right? And all these things got overshadowed because people were like, oh, that's old. This is a boring console life cycle is almost over. This is boring. And so what do they lose by going there? You know what I mean? Like, they don't have to worry about selling Halo. People are going to buy Halo. They don't have to sell Gears of War. People are going to buy it.
Yeah, that's
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that what's so interesting about Microsoft's E3 conference in particular is that I think this is the first year where they had all of their exclusive franchises. They had Forza, they had Fable, they had Halo, they had Gears. Like, you know, they didn't really save anything for Gamescom. They just kind of let it all out of the bag at E3 anyway. So I don't even know what they would be showing. Like, what other franchises they even have?
I think, what about something new? Is that why
well,
is that too?
Great. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
The next thing the next thing that's new for them will be on Durango, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is what's closing out the big part of their console cycle.
Yeah. I mean, I would hope that some teams, you know, at Rare or wherever, are sort of cooking up the next big thing for you know, whatever their next hardware is. I think with shows like Gamescom and shows like TGS that are open to the public, it's like that's expensive for them to go.
Sure.
And what you said, 275,000 people went. Like, that's one. You can reach that many people with one television commercial.
Mm-hmm. Like, can reach that many people with one article on IGN.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So, right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like there's better ways if your goal is to get in front of like the average person and not the industry like E3 is, then, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the big draw to the shows like Gamescom or a PAX or whatever is to go show your game and build buzz and show people it's cool and they need to be believing in it, right? Like, you see, like, the benefit with games like Warp or something like that, right? The independent developer who goes there and shows this and gets a groundswell of people who then tweet about it and talk about it. Microsoft doesn't need that for any of those franchises.
Mm-hmm. No. Fez is another example.
Yeah, Fez is a good example. Well, yeah.
I'm not just – I'm saying words over here.
I just wonder what it means for that show then. Like, if Nintendo's not going to Gamescom either, if publishers keep pulling out, you know, does the show shrink? You know, do consumers stop going? And then does the show lose relevance? Does IGN stop going?
Yeah.
All of Gamescom is going to be Wonderbook. It's just going to be Sony talking about Wonderbook.
Wonderbook.
Yeah. So why is Sony going? Still, I mean, they haven't backed out yet. Why is
the argument like,
for the reasons
Sony,
that you gave for Microsoft to go? Why is Sony still going?
Well, the reason I think Sony will go is because they will be bringing new content. From what I've heard, I would expect to see a lot of new things there. I mean, the Vita still has obviously a lot of ground to make up if it wants to not be a complete failure. So expected. I mean, they have to go there and that's the thing. They have to go there and make people believe in their products. They have to get a groundswell of support. They have to go there since nobody owns the goddamn Vita and nobody's buying it. I have to sit there and put it in your hands and say, feel how cool this is. Look at Assassin's Creed. Oh my gosh, play Monkey Ball. Do this, something like that. Show people that this is something you need to go home and buy. They need that support. They still need that. Don't need to go there and show, hey, everybody, look at God of War. You know, have you ever heard of this thing? Look at God of War because it's going to be overshadowed as well, but they need to go there and show off Unfinished Swan. Hey, this is a really cool game. You need to know about
it. So that sounds like Sony isn't in as good a position as Microsoft.
Oh yeah, of course not.
Okay.
Microsoft print can just do whatever they want. You know what I mean? Their console broke for the first 3 years of its life, and everybody's like, I don't care. I'll keep buying other ones. And then Sony, like, every piece of news always is bad. Yeah. They need to get hardware to people. And they see, that's the big thing, right? Is that Microsoft hasn't launched a new piece of hardware, right?
Okay.
Like, Sony has Vita, and they need to do something with it.
So then why not Nintendo? Because Nintendo has a lot to prove to get people on board with Wii U.
Well, that company makes dumb decisions all the time.
Well, okay. Just chalk it up to that.
See, like, I wouldn't say dumb decisions. They make very interesting decisions that you wouldn't – they don't follow the normal model, and probably because they're no longer a normal company, right?
Yeah, they kind of do what they want. Definitely.
Exactly.
Well, yeah.
And but they've been that way for a long time, to be fair. I don't think they're making right choices with the Wii U, but the thing I always go back to is I didn't think they were making right choices with the Wii either, and it made them bigger than ever. Yeah. So, you know, what do I know?
Exactly. Yeah, we can all sit here and pontificate. What's going to be interesting for Wii U, if I can just make one statement before you jump in, David.
You may not. No, I'm sorry.
Is that I think it'll be interesting to see if this is Wii U is going to work in the opposite direction that Wii worked. I felt was very good at I didn't own an HD TV, I didn't have internet, and I wanted to play old Nintendo games. And they said, "Hey, here's this cool system that does all that." I was like, "Awesome!" And I bought it. And then my mom saw it and wanted to play it. And now I'm wondering if Wii U is going to come out and look like, "Oh, it's totally this casual for baby system." And then it's going to come out and people are going to see it and be like, "Wait a second, Zombie U's really cool." And look at what's happening there. And then hardcore people adopt it.
It could be,
maybe.
You know what?
Oh, dude, I can't get this thought out.
Go for it.
I was thinking, coming out of E3, Nintendo is not in good shape. Like, people were not excited about the Wii U at all. So here you have an opportunity to get the Wii U in the hands of 275,000 people and show them why they want to buy it. Like, that's what I would want to do.
Maybe they don't believe in their own product to that degree. Maybe they want to have like really flashy, glossy commercials and things like that, and sell it to people that way.
Yeah, maybe the German audience isn't what they're targeting.
I mean, they did an investor Q&A right after E3, and Iwata said that they don't want to show their hand. They think if they show what they're releasing in 2013 now, the competitors will steal it, is basically what he said. So, like, they're like,
oh shit, Mario.
They're being like very calculated about what they're showing. But yeah, that E3 press conference was, Rich was calling it a director's cut of last year, because every single thing they showed was, we saw it last year. Like, last year, they confirmed Pikmin 3 was coming to the Wii U. This year, we finally saw it. But last year, on the floor, you could play Mario U. This year, they showed it off. On the floor, you could play Chase Me. Now it's an Animal Crossing minigame. You could play a little Metroid-themed game. Now that's part of Nintendo Land. Like, everything they showed, we just saw again this year, and that's disappointing.
Our listener Connor Hooley writes in. He's wondering about Gamescom. He says, I was wondering what you make of the news that neither Microsoft nor Nintendo will be at Gamescom. I also hear that THQ and Sega won't be attending either. It baffles me that these companies would opt not to attend the show, especially with Nintendo about to launch the Wii U. I guess we covered all of his questions.
I mean, THQ, they're different. THQ is incredibly different. They're trying to be smart with their money and get back on their feet and get to a position where they're not going to be delisted from NASDAQ or whatever.
Right. I mean, that's exactly. People think about companies like THQ and Sega, even though
Sega's not in the best shape.
Yeah, even though
especially in Europe,
though they've fallen on hard times, people still think about them as being these, you know, huge companies. But the fact is, everything they do spends money, right? So they, you know, someone somewhere crunched some numbers on some calculator and said, well, look, you know, the return we would get on this versus what it would cost to go.
I mean, Sega's another one too. It's like, okay, cool, you have Jet Grind Radio and you have Hell Yeah. What am I wrong?
They have Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed.
No. Is there a new Jet Grind coming out?
There's a downloadable version on Vita and just to the consoles.
Is it new?
Yeah, it's HD.
Oh man.
Looks well, I mean, it's not new Vita. No, it's the original game up-resed HD. But, you know, these are downloadable games that they've been showing for a while. Like, and it's one of those things, like, to IGN's point, like, these are games we don't even preview anymore when we see them.
Yeah.
Because how much more can I... well, right now, people want to know about reviews. They don't need to know what this level feels like.
I'm waiting for Sega to drop the bomb. New Seaman game.
Okay.
Nobody remembered Seaman?
I remember Seaman. The microphone.
You all just
yelling into your Kinect. It was a bad game. Nobody wants it back.
Yeah. It's a Seaman joke. I mean, what do you expect to get out of a Seaman joke?
All right.
Connor also says, will IGN be attending Gamescom this year? Do you know which editors will be there? Currently, the Raging Canadian, Charles Nguyen, and Mitch Dyer are scheduled to go.
Oh, two Raging Canadians.
Yeah, that's true.
What a duo, man. I'm excited for that.
They're like the Canadian Batman.
I hope they make videos on the plane. I hope they're touting while they're sitting together and stuff.
Did anybody tout during E3?
I touted once.
Really?
It was drinking whiskey at the IGN party. It was good.
Really? Oh, I didn't remember that. I touted twice. I touted one where a pink camel humped Colin Campbell's hand.
I saw that. And now the pink camel's in my apartment.
Yep. So it's Colin Campbell's hand.
He'll never write again.
So Nintendo has that 3DS system. It's been out for over a year now.
I've heard of it.
Another system that we all were like, oh, this thing's dead in the water.
When
it came out and had a horrible launch lineup and had nothing and for an entire year sucked dick, and then all of a sudden had all these awesome games at the end of the year and got a price drop and totally dominated.
Just like the DS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but not just like the DS in the sense that they iterated on the DS.
Yeah.
Right? But now it's seeming like... So there hasn't been a remodeled 3DS. It's just the 3DS. And I think a lot of people are maybe expecting a 3DS Lite or a 3DS XL.
I want to bet with Brian Altano over this. He was like, oh, there's definitely going to be a new model announced. Nope. Like, I didn't think they would do
it. But history, what evidence did you have that told you they wouldn't iterate it?
Because the 3DS is selling tremendously well right now. Like, each time they iterated the DS, it was when sales were dipping or when sales were, you know, slowly starting to rise. With 3DS, 3DS is doing incredibly well right now. There's no reason.
So I don't know. I don't have any numbers. Do you have any numbers for us?
Especially in Japan, it's dominating. Every week, it outsells every other hardware unit combined.
We don't live in Japan, though.
Well, U.S. as well, though. Like, I mean, this month, NPD said that 3DS was the only hardware that was up. Everything else was down by, like big numbers, too. Like, things are down, like, 40%, and 3DS is up 17% compared to a year ago. Like, That console, I mean, it's doing fine. Like, they, you know, knowing Nintendo, they could even have a 3DS XL or whatever done, and they're just waiting to announce it until sales dip. Like, I think it would be bad timing right now.
Well, but the issue that we're talking about is that they're not planning, apparently they're not planning on iterating on it at all. This is coming from Miyamoto telling IGN, saying, I really feel like I'm satisfied with the 3DS hardware as it is. I feel like it's the best for this generation. What we're thinking about right now is probably going to be for a future generation of handheld. Sounding like the 3DS that we have now is the only 3DS we're going to get.
But the screen wiggles.
It's just different than what Nintendo has usually done in the past.
Yeah, for sure. That would be weird if they just didn't. The design of the 3DS is bad. Like, I mean, do you remember when the original DS came out? It was really ugly, and then they released the DS Lite, and you were like, "Wow, this thing is awesome!"
But you didn't know how ugly it was until at least I didn't. I didn't know how ugly the DS Fat was until I got the DS Lite, and I was like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah. It's so, man.
The original DS awesome. Is a really terrible, ugly. Like, it's just weird.
It's like impossible to play. The screen is so dim and like.
It's a clamshell design, but like the two parts are different sizes. Yeah, so it's like the fat is bulging out.
Yeah,
from
it's got like an underbite.
It's a muffin top.
Yeah. Ugly system.
The 3DS. I'm sorry. The DS Lite though.
That was a hot system.
Yes, DS Lite was great.
The best handheld system.
Yeah, remember they did the one that looked like the NES.
No, you're thinking of the Game Boy Advance.
They did the Game Boy SP, and I owned one.
Didn't they do? I thought they did.
They didn't do it for the.
Okay, I'll take it back.
But the SP, the micro
Game Boy Advance SP was awesome.
I remember that one. I thought there was two different ones. I apologize.
It's okay.
I'm apologizing to the raging Nintendo fan at home right now.
Greg Miller is so fucking dumb. Rich George.
Audrey's flipping tables in their house.
Anyway, I guess that's all there is to say about.
That's all I have to say.
No other 3DS apparently coming.
Wow.
As of right now.
I missed that story completely. That's big news.
People lie all the time in video games.
IGN.com.
What'd you say, Greg?
People lie all the time in video games. We'll see if this is the truth.
You think Shigeru is a liar?
Mr. Miyamoto and your lies.
Yeah.
Greg's got his number. Did you see him say this week he wants to make a first person shooter?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, but.
That's funny.
He says all sorts of crazy stuff.
I giggle thinking about that.
Max Payne 3.
Max Payne
has an interesting way of dealing with cheaters. But some people cheat, Greg.
No.
Some people don't play by the rules.
Why would they do that?
Why would they do that? I don't know.
Ruin the experience for everybody.
Yeah.
And yourself.
Yeah.
Unless you get a trophy, then I'd do it.
You're only cheating yourself. For cheating? Anyway, what Rockstar is doing is if you are identified as a cheater, you're banished to the cheaters pool. You can only play with those cheaters.
I gotcha. That's cool.
So do you know that that's happened to you? Like, do you know you're in the cheaters pool? Or does
I'm not a cheater.
Okay.
And I also haven't played the Max Payne 3 multiplayer.
Okay.
But so, yeah, you can report people if you're a snitch.
But you're not a snitch, are you?
It's unclear whether or not Rockstar can identify cheaters on their own. Common cheats include infinite health. What else?
How do you do this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how you do this.
Got a game genie hooked up.
Yeah. What if you could do that in real life? It's like
have infinite health?
No, like if you cheated on someone, then
you're
in the cheaters pool.
You could only date other cheaters. That's interesting.
I like this idea.
Yeah, I bet you do.
But do you have someone report to you, just like in Max Payne?
You report, like, you cheat on someone.
Does life identify cheaters on its own?
I think you need to be reported. You get reported when you break up.
So to Rockstar, you have to provide proof in the form of a screenshot or a video.
That's a really sort of a backwards. So I love how they have this really progressive way of dealing with cheaters. Put them in the cheater pool, but then they have, like, a really backwards way of, like, proving that, like,
send us a photograph.
Yeah, exactly.
All these Polaroids coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can clearly see it's infinite health.
I thought this was really funny, though. It's like a clever way to deal with it.
It is clever. Was it you that said it's like Arkham City?
Yeah, it's just like sticking all these people in Arkham City and they just let them sort it out. They can make their own rules.
Well, then what's unclear is once you're in the cheaters pool, can you continue to cheat?
Yeah.
So is everyone in there cheating?
Great. Infinite health forever.
So then it's almost like this weird metagame where it's like whoever cheats the best wins.
Yeah, right? It's kind of interesting.
We should go undercover as cheaters and see what it's all about.
Isn't there a TV show called Cheaters?
I love the TV show Cheaters.
Joey Greco used to host it.
But he got stabbed.
Yeah, once he got stabbed, he's like, I'm out.
If you're sent to the cheaters pool and then later acquitted, is that what the word is?
Sure.
Then you get to rejoin society. But if you're sent for a second time for a second offense, you're there forever.
So no, like, no, I thought that strike. Part was weird because it's
no
like,
third strike.
So Greg reports you, like he's like, "Oh, Damon's cheating," and they put you in. You're like, "I wasn't cheating." They're like, "Oh, okay, sorry, Damon." And then, Greg reports and then I report yeah. you, and you just no, fuck forever.
I want to take a photo of you at your desk working on the computer. Like you clearly have a Word document open and say, "Look at him cheating," and see if we can get you banned.
So do you think after you go to the cheater's pool, then you come out, it's like coming out of prison, and then it's hard for you to...
Life moves too fast.
Like,
Brooks was here.
Brooks was here. Yeah.
I'm going to try to work that into a yeah. podcast or video at least once a week now.
I saw your performance. Have you seen your performance on Up at Noon yet?
No.
I saw it.
Is yeah. it coming up this coming week?
Possibly. I think it got shown to the audience for this week, next week's show, but then we filmed one afterwards that we might end up using instead and then bump
it
another week.
Keep it in your back pocket.
Yeah. It's evergreen.
Yep.
You know what game I like?
Gun Gear.
It's probably a game called Gun Gear, and it's probably Japanese, and I probably would like it. But that wasn't the game I was thinking of. I was thinking of Limbo.
Oh, Limbo's great.
Yeah. So we've got some details in the first screenshot of the sequel.
ZOMG.
Limbo 2 Electric Boogaloo.
No, that's not what it's called.
Where'd you find this, Andrew? This is on a list of grant recipients on the Danish government's website.
That's actually my homepage. I'm just checking out the Danish government all the time.
Playdead, yeah. Developer Playdead, they're Danes.
Yep.
The great. I like calling them the great Danes.
Like the dog.
Wow, what if they were all dogs? They're just sitting in, typing away.
What if dogs developed Limbo?
They don't even have thumbs.
It would still work.
Okay.
Anyway, a list of grant recipients.
This is you now, Andrew.
They've got a grant. You're supposed to enlighten us on
this. Balls in the air, slowly coming to the ground.
Yeah, this listing said that it had like very few details. I think this was probably maybe even a little ahead of when Playdead actually wanted this information to come out. But basically, it's a screenshot that looks a lot like Limbo. It's like a
taller,
thinner.
Have you guys seen the screenshot?
Yeah.
I have not.
It's like if you took the kid from Limbo and combined him with Charles Onyet. He'd look
and
like
you added
that.
Some blue to the palette.
Yeah, a little
bit of color.
The thing that jumped out at me is it looks like the kid. Like, it looks like him. And so then it makes me wonder. I mean, we can't really make any sort of real prediction or judgment, but it's like, could it be the same kid? Could it be, like...
So the one story detail they have is that, like, there's, like, this one-sentence description, and it says that, like, this kid is fighting against evil by, like...
Do you want the quote here?
Yeah, that would be great.
Tells the story of a boy's struggle against evil forces trying to take over the world through questionable experiments on human bodies.
Oh, God. Mm. Wow, man, these guys, those Danes, those great Danes.
They've seen things over there.
Yeah, it's true.
Horrible things.
It's funny because like there's no information in this that I got all excited. Like now I'm like really looking forward to this game.
Yeah, Limbo's so good.
Yeah, Limbo's awesome.
My favorite game of this generation.
Is it really?
Yeah. So awesome.
Wow.
And a while ago, when they first said that they were working on this, Playdead described it as more crazy than Limbo. That was last October.
Yeah, that was last year, and he like really like emphasized that point. He said it like several times.
More crazy.
That's how he
just kept saying that over and over.
It's funny because when Greg did that, I was picturing a talking dog doing that. I was picturing a great Dane.
Right, how do I spell more? No, your name. I need to spell your name. More crazy.
He's in a lab coat. He also says it's more 3D than you would think.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Like, and more weird than Limbo in many ways. This is what they have to say about their game. More crazy, more 3D, more weird.
That's the trailer.
More crazy.
We should make. Can we make a trailer for
we
it?
We should. Right, yeah. More 3D, more weird.
The sequel to Limbo. For more information, check out the Danish government site. DanishGovernment.gov.
Yeah, I also like how the code name for it right now is Project 2. Like, and I saw a lot of other sites, like, theorizing what that could mean. They were like, maybe he's the second experiment. And I was like, I'm pretty sure that's a
code
name.
It's just, like, probably the default document when they open their game-making program. Yeah. It's just called Project 2, and they saved it as that.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
What's the game-making program called, Greg?
Axors.
Axors?
You gotta tighten up the graphics on level 3, guys.
Can we add more fun?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just make it more fun. Funner.
File new.
It's a risk, but I like your abilities, so I'll invest the money in it. Also, get rid of some of the bugs.
Yeah, maybe we're stupid. Maybe in the in the game making program, there's a button that says click here for more weird, and he hit it a bunch of times, and then that's all he was talking about.
Dial back the 3D, but more than Limbo still.
Make it more 3D than people would think.
I'm ready for that game.
Yeah, me too.
Let's take that one now. There's another downloadable game that came out recently that's very good. It's called Journey.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
It's made by that game company. Yeah.
Oh, it's cute. I see what you're doing there. damn, it's
I can't
smart.
Be the, I can't be the first person to have done that. They've made three games, yes?
Yes.
And they've all been PlayStation 3.
Flow, Flower, and Journey.
The Flower Journey.
Yeah.
The Flower Journey. But now they've received some cash, $5.5 million. Now they're no longer beholden to Sony.
They're
going out on their own.
Chains are off. The birds got to fly.
They're making their own money. They're moving out of the parents' house. Yeah. they're allowed to sleep with other people.
Oh,
basically,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Is that one of their parents' rules?
Yeah. You can only sleep with us.
So venture. I don't know how venture capital works, but they've got some money now, uh-huh. and that's going to allow them
quite a bit, though, right?
$5.5 million.
So that's really
sounds like a
that
lot.
Doesn't actually sound like a lot.
That's,
like, that's not a lot of video game money, right?
Like, well, yeah, but keep in mind that I mean, they're I'd imagine going to continue to work in the downloadable space, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the, I mean, the games they're working
on. I don't think you can make a retail game for $5.5 million.
Yeah. Do you know, Greg? You talk to those guys a lot. Do you know how big that company was? Is it like 12 people, 20 people?
I don't honestly off the top of my head, and I know Kelly just left to go off and do her own thing.
Yeah,
Genova's out there all by himself now.
$5.5 million is really not that much. Like, if they have a modest sized team to make games, that would last them maybe 2 years.
How much did Double Fine raise for their new game?
Yeah,
it was like
3.9 or something like that. 3.2 million. Yeah,
yeah, through Kickstarter.
Yeah,
so yeah, I don't know. It's not like retirement money.
It sounds like this is enough for their next game.
Yeah,
I don't think this is like their nest egg for the next 10 years. It sounds like that $5.5 million will directly go into whatever they're working on right now.
But if $5.5 million is enough to allow them to make multi-platform game, make a multi-platform game, how much did their other games cost? I would like to know.
Like Journey?
Yeah.
Journey was 15 or 10.
Million?
Oh, I thought you meant how much did it cost in the store.
No,
I will be quiet now. Yeah.
$10.
Journey was $10 million to buy in the PSN.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's good. It's cool. I love the idea of
playing it's exciting.
Company game on Xbox.
Everyone loves their stuff. You know, it's one of those things if you only had an Xbox or... I almost said only had a Wii, but... but you know, it's just nice. It's going to be nice for more people to get a chance to see their sort of cool stuff.
Well, I wonder if that's how they plan to make money. Like, they could just put Journey on, or can't? Does Sony
have to? Sony had them out of college wrapped up on a 3-game contract, and that just expired.
I think
they replaced them with the Unfinished Swan guys. That's the real story.
Heartbreak
Ridge at Sony.
Remember, you can always reach us at gamescoop@ign.com. Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Wade Courtney K. Wood, or just Courtney, a guy.
Courtney, the guy writes into all the shows all the time.
Yeah. Courtney also has something to say. He's got a quick question.
Uh-oh.
He says, Damon and Greg, you seem to be best buds. I was shocked to find out that Damon was a Kansas University alumni.
Oh, man.
Actually, it's University of Kansas, Courtney.
Close enough, Courtney. Don't worry about it. They don't matter.
For I, as a Kansas State University alumni, know that there is only one university that hates KU more than KSU, and that is Missouri. Explain.
That's right. When I first came here, I thought it'd be a stumbling block and make me and Damon hate each other. But in fact, Damon does not care anything for sports. He enjoyed his time at KU.
Oh,
but
yeah.
He doesn't sit around and, like, he doesn't wear KU shirts like I wear all these Mizzou shirts, and he doesn't drink out of a KU coffee mug or anything like that. So we get along just fine. I have to tell him when Kansas beats Missouri at something. And then he just goes, oh, good.
Yeah. It's true.
I want to start a segment right after explaining jokes with Goldfarb. I want to have explaining sports with Damon, where Damon takes some sport that he doesn't know anything about and explains to us what he thinks is happening.
No, it's not like I don't understand sports.
No. Yeah, if you want that, you do Clements. Clements.
Clements doesn't understand. Right. Justin was trying to explain to him the difference between a period and a quarter. Clements was trying to figure out how many quarters were.
He was watching the basketball game and couldn't figure out how over it was. He's like, is this game about to end? I'm like, no, it's halftime.
Here's my problem with Clements in sports. Is that Clements is one of these guys who he's very open-minded about everything in the entire world. Games, people, everything.
Sexuality.
And it's true. He wants other people to be that way too. But when he gets to sports, something happened to him when he was a kid that he won't talk about, I'm sure. He's so closed-minded. You can try to give him information in the most innocuous way. Oh yeah, well, a home run's this. And he'll just throw up his arms and go, well, I don't know, is it a touchdown or whatever? That doesn't make any sense to me. And he'll walk away. It's very simple to pick up on any of the little things you're talking about. Like, you can ask him today about quarters. Go ask him after this podcast. He'll be like, it's all gibberish. Oh, no. Like, what are you fucking talking about? Just listen for 2 seconds and you know. And then he'll be offended if you don't remember whatever K-pop artist he's in love with.
I was just going to say, you should get, if Girls' Generation started some softball team, that makes no sense. But if that were to happen,
an amazing there's probably enough of them to.
Yeah, there's like nine of them.
Form a softball
How many team. People are on a baseball team?
Nine.
Nine, right. Right? Totally.
Or they're on the field at one time. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I know that, right?
Probably
that's right, isn't it? I think I'm right.
One person's injured. We're like, all right, we got to call the game.
I think it's nine. I think it's nine.
You have three in the field.
Yeah.
Then you have.
Three plates.
Well, I'm in.
No, but there's no second baseman.
You have right field.
It is
center
nine.
Field, left field.
Uh huh. You're right.
Shortstop, three bases, pitcher, catcher.
There you go.
Yeah. I know sports.
Sports.
Okay, let's move on. This is Dominic Shea from Nassau, Bahamas. Dominic Shea. I'm a big fan of IGN and the podcast.
Yeah.
Recently, I was listening to one of my favorite episodes of GameScoop. It was episode 202.
I like the idea that was a gem.
He just goes back and listens to his favorite episodes. It featured Ryan Geddes. Colin and Brian Altano, you guys addressed the state of Nintendo over the years and went into a very introspective and intelligent discussion, that doesn't sound like us, about what they did right and what they did wrong. It was also very funny and truly entertaining. It was when the information first leaked about the Wii U, what was then known as Project Cafe. During the podcast, Ryan asked Damon, what would it take for you to go back to Nintendo, and what would they have to do to get you to want this new system? My question, now that E3 is finally over, what do you think of the Wii U? Has it won you over even a little? If not, why? So we can also share our...
Yeah, but he wants your opinion more than anybody.
Yeah. Still not on board with the Wii U. They still haven't shown the tablet, the gamepad, or whatever. Yeah. Still not sold on that. It's a little weird. But at least we do have the two analog sticks. But, like, they're not showing amazing games. The games that they do show don't look graphically better than what's available on Xbox and 360, right? So it's like I think I said on Twitter, it looks like Nintendo finally has a current gen system, right? And Sony and Nintendo are about to launch their next gen systems. I don't know.
Yeah,
video games are a visual medium. You look at them. Graphics are very, very important to me.
Yep. Zombie U look cool, but then they also said that Zombie U might go multi-platform. Like, all right, good. I got a Vita, so I'm ready to look through my inventory or whatever while the zombies are crawling around. That's cool.
Yeah. I definitely think so. This is something that people have always talked about for a long time, but software sells hardware in the video game space. Yep. You know, any console I buy, I'm buying is because there's a game or there's a few games that I want to play on it and hope that more come later. And right now, the Wii U games aren't there. What I've always liked about Nintendo is they were always kind of doing their own thing. People were making, shooters like, we got Animal Crossing. It's sort of weird, but give it a shot. And then, like, Animal Crossing's awesome. And, the Pikmin was awesome. And Super Smash Brothers was awesome. And they do their own, they sort of put their own unique spin on things. And Mario Galaxy, no one had ever seen anything like that before. But now on the Wii U, it's like Pikmin 3. And it's just stuff. Doesn't, and it's,
and
you
I
know.
I like Pikmin, but then you're playing it with the Wiimote and Nunchuck still. It's like, God, that's what I hated about the Wii.
And so I think Nintendo needs to get back to their, sort of saying, other people are zigging and they used to zag and it would be kind of awesome. And that's what I liked about them. And unless the Wii U does more of that, then I'm kind of not into it. And I guess that, to be fair, they are doing that now with stuff like Nintendo Land. But it's not appealing to me.
Sure, like that's kind of the problem. Is like they're talking about how you can do stuff you can't do anywhere else in the Wii U, and everything's so different. But their games, they showed Pikmin right next to Project P100. Project P100 is just like Pikmin. They showed Mario U next to Mario or New Super Mario Brothers U at the same time as New Super Mario Brothers 2 and Rayman Legends, all of which are really similar. And so they had these games in the floor, and I was up there for like an hour playing all the Wii U stuff, and everything felt so similar. All of the Nintendo Land stuff, like three of those games are reskin versions of Chase Me. Yep. Like they're just like, they were showing games that were all really similar to each other. And like, it looks fun, but it just doesn't look
ringing indoors
good. Like, it's so frustrating.
I want that Nintendo magic back. One Miyamoto quote that stuck with me over the years is that the company always gets accused of making Mario, Zelda, Pokemon over and over and over again, which is true. Mario, Zelda, Pokemon games come out. But what he says is, if you have a big franchise that's super big, that actually lets you innovate more, not less. Cause like everyone's going to buy Mario cause it's Mario. So it's sort of like slipping new IP in the door. Like Mario Galaxy is not like Super Mario World, and Super Mario World was not like Mario Brothers on the NES. So these games evolve and change, and like it stars Mario because that's how they sell it to people. But the actual game is something brand new.
But that's what's, it's funny that you say that, because that's an awesome point. But the counter to that is that Altano was talking to the Rayman guys about Rayman Legends, and they were like, we can do whatever the fuck we want. Like, there's no world to Rayman. They're right. Like, if we want to have a level where you run through some food, sure, you run through it, and now you're in a castle. Like, they can just do whatever, because yeah. There's no, like, mythology. There's no, like, predefined world they have to stick to. You know, like, you could put Mario in, like, the mean streets of New York City, but people would be like, what the fuck are you doing? But, like, you know, with a new IP or with
instead we'll put him in space, it's the same thing.
Sure, but I feel like there's this weird, like, backwards concept with Nintendo where all they want to do is innovate, and they come up with some amazing, clever ideas, but at the same time, they limit themselves by focusing on the same, like, you know, four or five key things.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. So we're all agreed. Nobody in this room is, like, super jazzed about Wii U.
Yeah, I know. I try, like, every time we talk about it, and this is, I guess, the first time after E3, but I try not to be negative about it. I still feel like I just don't know enough about it. Even I watched the E3 press conference, and like I didn't go through all the demos in the Nintendo booth. I was too busy. But like I've watched our live show demos. I've, you know, watched the video we have on the site and stuff. And it's just like, okay, I'm still waiting for the thing that will make me say, yes, I need that.
Well, it's what an utter failure to say, this is our new system. This is our next generation console. You can use it to play year old games.
Yeah.
Right? Like, here's a year old game, fucking Batman Arkham City.
Yeah.
Like,
he's got
right?
a new suit, though.
What the fuck? That is a total failure.
Yeah, I mean, they had an opportunity to be like, this is our console, this is how much it's going to cost, this is what you get in the box, you know, here's two games for the hardcore, here's some games for your kids, here's some games for the casual, you know, you can use the Wii remote, you can use this, boom, 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 lay it all out, and people would be like, all right, you know, all right. Yeah. But Greg's absolutely right, there's still kind of a lot of question marks. And last year, it was like, well, the Wii U seems interesting, but we don't really know that much. And now 12 months later, we're kind of having the same conversation.
Right.
Like,
I heard there was a lot of mainstream reports still that were confused over if it was, in fact, a new system or if it was just a controller.
Because
or
they're showing Pikmin, and it's using the same controller. Right? Yeah. It's using the Wiimote Nunchuck.
Well, and that, it's funny, like, the one, so they had four conferences. The one announcement out of all four where I was like, oh, that's really cool, was the Wii U Pro controller, which is basically like the Xbox controller. Yeah. But then using it, the sticks are at the top of it, and it feels really weird.
They're not like, offset like on the 360.
It like, hurt my, I played Rayman for maybe 15 minutes, and my fingers already hurt.
Why, Reggie? You can stop, sir. If it hurts, you can stop.
Is it really 11?
Well, that's a little bit fast. I got 10:57.
Okay,
we got in the morning on Friday. 6:15.
Also, how good would Pikmin be on iPad?
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
Right? Like, that's what Nintendo has to get on board with.
How good would Pokemon be on the iPhone?
Yeah.
Like,
yep. I just,
how good would Zelda be on the PlayStation? Like, the more and more time that passes.
They're leaving so much money on the table.
And they showed that HD Zelda demo last year, and it was so amazing. They just didn't do anything with it this year. Like, what?
Well, that's par for the course. They showed the one when they had the GameCube, and then they put out, admittedly awesome, the cel-shaded Zelda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Wind Waker is my favorite Zelda.
Wind Waker is awesome. That wasn't a knock against Wind Waker. I'm just saying, I watch a conference, and if they show me an HD demo at Nintendo, I'm like, all right, cool.
They show off hardware with Zelda, you're right.
Yeah.
Like Zelda demos.
Okay, this is Vincent Kinney. He says, I just wanted to thank you for reading my letter a while ago. I've been listening to the show for 2 years now. I was always too shy to write in. Still, I decided to try. And when you did, it made my day. And is definitely one of the top five moments of my life.
You're welcome, Vincent. Glad it meant so much to you.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. We love you.
Thanks a lot. So he actually has another question now.
No. Yeah. Greedy bastard.
You had your one.
You better be able to wrap it up in 2 minutes, Vincent.
He has to know. Do you guys feel, are there any genres or stories that you guys feel we haven't explored enough in gaming? For me, it would have to be Westerns or time travel. Yes, Red Dead Redemption was awesome, but I still feel there's not enough good Western games, and there are barely any time travel games.
Back to the Future.
Yeah, it sounds like he wants a Back to the Future 3 game, basically.
Oh, God.
I actually wrote...
Actually, there probably was one.
There was.
Telltale
played
one.
No, I mean, there was a Back to the Future 3 game as well.
Was
Sega Genesis.
I
played
on the Genesis. I had an NES Back to the Future,
four
too.
Levels. Well, the NES four levels.
Back to the Future is unplayable.
It's really awful, but I played it a lot because I was like 8 and didn't know better.
Yeah.
I had a bunch of those games.
So I actually wrote a blog about this exact topic, about genres. Like, why do we see some stuff in movies that we never see in games? And, maybe I'll turn it into an IGN feature. But we don't see very much comedy in games. Or if people do it, it focuses on just kind of being fun. Like, it's hard to mix gameplay and comedy. Like, they just don't mesh well together as they do in, like,
film. Because comedy's so much about timing.
Right.
And when you can just go anywhere and do anything, then how does that work?
I completely agree. I still think some smart person, like, I feel like that's a nut that can still be cracked.
Well, you figure you have two good examples of it coming up to see how far we've evolved, right? The South Park RPG and then Family Guy.
Like,
and Family Guy is all about timing and this and that. And yeah. like I got to see a demo at E3 and they've said in interviews with us. It was interesting. It was funny for sure, but it wasn't funny like a Family Guy episode is where there's like quick cutaways and this. Like the part I saw was all about third person shooting and like you were running around the Amish town and stuff. And there are a bunch of visual gags to see and hear and then like characters talking. But
well, so what Trey Parker and Matt Stone are heavily involved in the
South Park one.
Yeah, so is Seth MacFarlane heavily involved in the
Family they're working with his production company, and they do have two of the writers on from the show.
Not quite the same, but...
Yeah,
but I don't know how much, like, how involved he's been in the show for even years.
That's true.
Yeah.
Trey and Matt are still very involved in South Park. So.
Totally. Yeah. So I'd like to see someone figure out comedy in games. I thought heist. Like, I love heist movies, but I don't know that there's ever been, like, a really great heist game. There's that one 7 Days, and I was so pumped for that, then it got canceled.
What was Payday the Heist?
Payday the Heist, yeah, but that was, I mean, there was no story
was
to that. Yeah, yeah. That was more like an objective thing. It's
like, I
want to
see the planning and then the execution.
It's similar to, like, right, when people talk about GTA 4, the one positive everybody agrees on is the bank robbery mission. Everybody's like, the bank robbery mission was awesome. And so, yeah, I can totally see that.
It's freaking
like,
heat.
Yeah.
You gotta escape through the subway.
Yeah.
Sorry, I really love that mission. I love heist movies. I want to, and it seems like an obvious fit for a game. Like, assemble your team, plan it out, plan how you want to, like, do it, escape on the boat.
But then
the real
safe's
still under the water. I don't know. I'm talking Italian job awesome. Now.
You build up the whole game, and then, like, the final mission is finally that bank thing you've been planning the whole game
so
for.
So it would have to be either heavily scripted or open-ended and, like, a cooperative game.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have all the answers
We're spitballing here. We're making the game. We're giving somebody the design doc here.
So that we're save this doc as Project One.
You listening to this? Naughty Dog, that's a freebie. You can have it.
I want Behavior Studios to pick it up.
What do they make?
Naughty Bear.
Final question comes from Ty Blue. He said, it's for you, Greg.
Oh.
I want you to describe a day at IGN in no more than 40 seconds. Greg, go.
Oh, I come in, I try to get a bagel if I'm feeling frisky. I talk to Charles about the sandwich, I packed him. Then I look through the news, I just put it all aside until Goldfarber Colin gets in to do it. Then I probably film a video for a while. Then I go take a long lunch, then I come back, podcast a little bit, do something on Twitter, and then come back. No, actually, you work really hard, and you come in, and you play video games, and you write about video games, and see what's happening with breaking news. Rarely do I play video games here, I usually play them at home, and then try to write them at home, because it's the only place to get work done. Then you come in here, you edit people's work. Oh, 10 seconds. I'm sorry.
I thought you were stopping me.
Yeah. So, I mean, everybody's day is different. There is no average day at IGN. It's crazy. We all work incredibly hard and do different things and have many hats to wear.
Time.
We spend most of our day in Microsoft Word and in email. At least I do. Maybe you guys don't.
And meetings. You're leaving meetings out. A lot of meetings.
Meetings. Yeah. Meetings.
Speaking of which,
we have to run to a meeting right now. Yeah. So that is all the scoops that we have for you this week. I leave you this week with a Kanye West remix by Figure. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, dear listeners. Remember, you can always reach us at gamescoop@ign.com. Feel free to hit me up on Twitter. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out.
Okay. I'm in that 2C limo. Okay.
We go, we do it pronto, okay. It's like
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.